The opinions on this show are ours and ours alone.
All information is for entertainment purposes only.
This content is meant for mature audiences.
So press start and come join our game.
Welcome back to another episode of Waiting for Players. I'm Adam.
I'm John.
I'm Adam.
Peter, over here.
Oh, over here.
Over here.
Welcome back, two of you.
I was just thinking the same thing. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
A week, yeah.
John was also gone for a week.
It seemed longer than that, so. Yeah.
You may call me Jonicles. New name.
No,
Jonicles?
No, probably not.
Not happening.
Just stick with Jay's plan.
So what
the
were you two?
Level of narcissism.
What were you two doing while you were not being here?
I was working. So exciting, I know.
No,
so
you
much.
Fucking weren't last week.
Then where was I?
Oh,
John, you've been gone for 2 weeks. You went to Hawaii.
Yeah, I was
the first
working
week.
Last week.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Hawaii the week before.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what then? Why wasn't I here?
I couldn't see his eyes, but he was mugging you.
Hard. I thought it was Hawaii last week, and I was like, how do you not fucking remember you were in Hawaii last week?
That was a good trip.
Yeah. So crazy, bro. I was like surfing. I totally lost track of time.
It happens.
I'm upset that I didn't get a surf.
What were you
at
up
all?
To over the last week?
Hanging out with my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. All right.
She just got back from Korea. So
okay. So it's not just like. Either.
You'll
it's not just like
to
you.
Blow us off.
It's not just like you and you decide to blow us off.
I was on vacation.
So
right.
Was he.
You didn't even do anything. You're like, I'm going to go for a motorcycle ride and skip Waiting for Players.
Yeah, exactly, because I was on vacation. I wasn't even supposed to be in town, so
hey,
I made myself as little available as possible.
I've suddenly decided that I'm going to take vacation starting now, so you guys have
I'm on vacation all the time.
Except for last week.
Well, I'm just saying my thought process. I'm never really anywhere.
Do what you love. Do what you love. You'll never work a day in your life.
So I'm guessing you guys didn't do much gaming then.
Honestly, no. I've only gaming I've done in the last, like, since before Hawaii has been WGT, like, Golf Pro, like, golf app where I just play golf on my phone. And I've been doing that as I, like, lay down before bed and in the morning on my days off and stuff. I was just kind of lounging around the house, kicking people's asses.
You played
at
a little of Clash of Clans this week too, didn't you?
I literally got a text message from my clan leader. I didn't even know that they still had me in Wars because I haven't played in months. And they're like, John, do you think you could 3-star the 14 and 15 bases for us so we could win this war? So I jumped on real quick and made a bunch of dragons and then wrecked their low level bases real fast. And I was like, done. There you go. And that was the extent of Clash of Clans.
Okay.
I do need to sync my account to my phone, which I can honestly say actually Clash of Clans has a really nifty, easy function. You just go into your settings, like, because I have it on my iPod, and now that I have an Android phone.
Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club.
Now that I have an Android phone, so you just go on, like, I went on my iPod, and then you go into settings, and then you say, this is the old device, and the new device is not an Apple device, and so you hit other, and then it gives you a code to put in settings on your new device, and then it just links your account automatically.
I knew it.
So it's, like, super simple. Like, very basic.
That reminds me of, like, a
but
regular
like,
Super
you
Nintendo
sync your
safe
account
code.
Well, like, Lenny, our roommate, was saying, like, you gotta sync your account to Google, and then after that, you can load your Google profile, and then bring it up, and then I went to do it, and I was like, it just gives me a code. I'm like, this is way easier. It's like 6 days.
Well, you're already on your Google account, yeah. So it did sync it to your Google account. So he's not technically wrong.
Are you sure?
You have to have a Google account to download anything on an Android.
Yeah.
So,
what's Google?
Okay, Tyler.
Is that what Tyler does?
All the time. What are comments?
You know what?
What's
Adam
a
off.
Podcast?
I can totally see Tyler doing that.
Pisses Adam off a lot. It's really funny.
This Adam?
Yes.
This
what's pissed
this
off?
Not as much as you'd think. I enjoy it for like the first two, and then I'm just like, okay, Tyler, let's move the fuck on.
But he and I find
I
it
hilarious.
Yeah, that you get to two or three, and then you think, oh, god damn it.
What's God? Oh, wait, are we do this all night?
It's that seat.
Yeah, so no, not really a lot of gaming. I will say this for that golf app. Super fun. Super fun. Super basic.
So, since none of us really did much gaming, unless Josh did over there.
Let me guess.
No, I did a bunch of writing.
Yeah, so since none of us did really much of anything.
I watched a bunch of stuff this week. Not a lot of gaming.
I did some interviewing. I did
related to this podcast.
I jerked it in here once.
So I'm glad I got one laugh.
I do that before every show. Well, it's because me and you are kindred spirits.
Kindred jerkers.
Yeah.
That's rude.
We're bird jerkers.
Faptastic.
You guys going to keep fapping on there? Or
I'm done. I didn't get to game.
Peter, turn around.
I went fishing on my day off instead of gaming, nope. So that's what happened.
Well, I guess we'll just jump into news. I think John was going to tell us about the new Humble Bundle.
I was going to tell you about the new Humble Bundle. So,
he's even shocked. You know,
now I've got the tab open already.
Oh,
I'm so shocked. I'm already prepared.
Wow.
So Humble Bundle's got a weekly bundle as well as a bunch of other stuff, you know, that they've got. I'm looking at their weekly game bundle, and so this week is the Fantastic Arcade Humble Weekly Bundle.
Bunch of old school arcade games?
You know, honestly, I don't think I recognize a single one.
List them off.
We got, so for the basic package, which you can actually get, it looks like for free, you get Hellmouth, Aaliyah, Hokey, Risky Bison, Crap, No One Loves Me, and Wheels of Aurelia. And for $8 more, you get another 6 games, which is Pez, Hotline Miami, Luft Trousers. Miami. What's Hotline Miami? Are you excited?
Garrett plays, yeah, Garrett plays it all the fucking time. It looks really fun.
I've never played it. I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Luft Trousers. Very German, you know. No Breaks Valet. That sounds kind of exciting. I like those stupid games. I used to play, like, parking Flash games and shit way back in the day on the internet when Flash games were actually a thing.
They're still a thing.
Yeah, I'm just not.
There's not a very popular thing.
Yeah. You remember, like, addictinggames.com?
Oh,
and, like,
God.
That still exists.
I know. I went there the other day, and I was like, it's literally the same games as last time with different names. Mirror Moon EP. That actually looks kind of cool. I'm not sure what it is. And then Fract OSC. But that looks really cool, too. It's very neon-looking.
Damn.
It's a musical exploration game.
Some shit's going on outside.
Yeah.
Adam, you were a little late. You were out of bank on the way.
Did they follow you here?
Did you hold
up the quick
email? They
didn't follow me. I think just looping around looking for the car. It's a good thing that I'm actually parked in the driveway. They shouldn't see that.
Adam and I know from experience that doesn't stop them. They just pull in the back.
Yeah.
So, Adam, aiding and abetting now? You okay with that?
Yeah. Live on the show.
Don't worry, we'll get away with it.
Bar accessory after the facts.
I got 15% for you if you keep your fucking mouth shut.
Wow. So, back to news.
Fract actually looks really, really cool.
The only game in that whole list that I've heard of is the Hotline Miami.
I'm the same way, but I can promise you that those games are not. What did you say? It was like the arcade something or other bundle?
Yeah, the Fantastic Arcade.
I don't think any of those games have ever actually been in an arcade before.
No.
Of course not.
They're arcade-style games.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's that's exactly style. what Hotline Miami is.
Features, parking lots, fast cars, definitely a steering wheel, two-player valet to valet for valet no brakes. I'm kind of excited. Parking for tips. Yeah. No, but that's pretty cool. I mean,
So you got to pick it up then?
Of course. The free one.
Just for the valet.
Yeah, honestly, it would be an awesome flashback to my childhood. I used to play it was called Perfect Park, and it was this flash
game.
Never
heard of it.
And you have to, like, you can go in and then back up and stuff like that, but the more points your turn takes, the less points you earn for parking. The more perfectly parallel within the lines you are, the better. If you hit other cars, you automatically fail. And so you used to have to try to, like, drive into the parking lot and then swoop into the parking place and stop and be, like, perfectly parallel. You know, Perfect Park. And I don't know, my dad used to laugh at me because he'd walk by and I'd be playing that game for hours on different parking missions, and he would just be like, that is the stupidest looking
game. Did it help your real-life parking skills?
I'm a mad parker, bro.
So it's a yes?
Yes.
I think everybody should play that.
You're a bad parker?
Mad
you're
parker.
You're bad?
I got
all
mad
right.
parking skills.
You're Simon's mad? You're bad. Like pissed off. Like, oh, that was my parking spot!
Yeah. I'm that person that starts ramming the rear end of their car.
He's from Seattle.
Hook the wench up from the Jeep to it and tow them away and then take the spot back.
I am terrible at parallel parking. I am fucking
Oh, really? I'm pretty good at it.
I'm not bad at parallel parking.
God awful at parallel
parking. I don't like parallel parking.
No. Nobody does. I try to avoid it the best I can.
But I just don't do it. There's I know for a fact,
in my drive test, I straight stomped that shit in this giant-ass Monte Carlo.
I failed it
like
as
so
soon
long.
As possible.
It was a fucking boat of a car, and I pulled it in and then parked it, and the guy was just like, opened the door and was like, yeah, you're good. And I pulled out, and I was like, sweet start.
I did my drive test in a Ford Aerostar van, one of the old box vans.
Yeah.
I nailed. The only thing I failed was backing around a corner.
I failed that, too, I was too close to the curb. Is that a thing? Is that a thing? I wasn't on the curb. I was too close.
I think it's because you're supposed to back around a corner into traffic, not into the shoulder. Because I also failed it for the same reason.
Well,
I
was just
why.
Supposed to not be close to the curb, because I could have done that way easier. No, I was really pissed. He's like, you did pretty good. I have to fail you on that. You're too close to the curb. You're supposed to be about 6 inches away, and you're like an inch away. And I was just like, but I'm not touching it. Like, I feel like this is a huge success, sir. But whatever. Fail me for my backing around the corner skills. It's like the easiest thing to do. And yet, I think everybody fails. They just have a different reason for every too far, too close.
How
just
long
like
is that Humble Bundle going?
Took you too long.
Yeah, how long, yeah. Is,
how
that
long is the
bundle
going?
Well, this is the weekly bundle, so I'm imagining through Sunday. So I guess that doesn't
Sunday,
help
Sunday,
anybody.
Sunday.
Way to go, John.
Yeah.
Really, the best thing you can do is like just
pay
subscribe to their
newsletter.
Yeah,
you get a weekly email.
Yeah.
That'll tell you for the weekly bundle. And so like it doesn't tell me because like, it's not just games. Like, they have books bundles,
have
mobile
Twitter.
Bundle, Humble Store bundle, yeah. And then the straight Humble bundle. But the weekly bundle for games, like, I get that email every week. And I usually just pop it open and then look at the pictures and see what they're offering. Cause you
yeah,
never know.
See if it's something that interests you.
And it always goes to a good cause, and it's very inexpensive. And you can get some really rad shit for, like, nothing. You know, and you can always over-donate, too. So, like, if you know you're getting some really good games and it's going to a good cause, feel free to kick them $20 instead of $8. It's an option. You can do it.
The nice thing about Humble Bundles is not only do they do a weekly bundle, they do a large bundle that usually runs 2 or 3 weeks. And then actually this week they're also running a comic bundle, which you will have to tune into Comics Brew this week to find out what that's all about. Shameless plug. Let's move on.
Oh, wow.
Well.
The Humble Bundle that's going on right now is Medieval 2 Total War Collection, Viking Battle for Asgard, Shogun Total War Collection, and Total War Rome Original Soundtrack. Bum, bum, bum.
That would be so cool if I cared anything about any of those games.
Well, I was going to say, will that still be going on when this episode releases?
What I'm trying to find is a fucking timer. Oh,
should
right
be
here.
The top right.
Time is running out. 3 days, 13 hours, 29 minutes, and 40 seconds.
So no.
So I guess I can't
But
show...
check out the Humble Bundle anyway.
I
like,
guess I can't show.
They people. Always have good good
and,
deals.
And the proceeds
if you
want to
hear about what they had
absolutely.
Last week, tune into Waiting for Players, and we'll tell you what you missed out on. I actually did have another piece of news I'm excited about.
Do you know what the charities are for that Humble... Sorry, for that Humble you're talking about?
Because they do rotate,
which
depending
one?
On
the
bundle.
Which one?
The
weekly or the...
The one, the first one you talked about.
All right.
Phenomena.
It doesn't say.
I know. Yeah. We've had this conversation, Josh. Just ignore it.
I can't ignore
move
it. It's wrong.
Just move on.
Phenomena.
Phenomena.
Oh, you get to choose. It says choose where the money goes between the developers and two charitable causes, Able Gamers and World Reader, via the PayPal Giving Fund.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of cool. Right,
yeah, you got choices.
Yeah, like you can just give it to the developers of the games and they get paid, or you can give it to some charitable things like Able Gamers or World Reader. I'm guessing Able Gamers is for disabled gamers. Maybe?
I imagine that's the case.
Yeah,
seems
Google's a powerful tool. I'll look at it. The other thing that was kind of cool that I ran into on Kickstarter was there's a Mopra telescope in Australia. And they're using it to, in Australia, to map the Milky Way. And so that's a cool cause to me. Like, I'm pretty sure everybody here has shown how much their love for space is.
Fuck.
Right?
Yes.
We've talked about it a couple times. Just yeah.
What's
yeah,
it twice?
Where the fuck is my solar sail?
That's highly illogical, John. Can we?
Yeah. No, and so it's Save the Mopra Telescope. So basically, they got their funding ripped away. And they weren't going to be able to continue mapping the Milky Way. And they really, I mean, these scientists, they want to finish it. You know, they've got another quadrant to go.
Is it the Delta quadrant?
Oh, my God. Perhaps the Gamma
quadrant? What's the quadrant that they get lost in Voyager?
Delta.
Delta.
It's Delta, okay.
Yeah. Gamma quadrant is the Deep Space Nine.
Isn't, yeah, the Dominion.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's Delta quadrant. Is it? It's
Holy shit, there's going to be Borg and Species 8472. But yeah, basically,
they needed $45,624.
They're not Delta quadrant.
They are.
No, they're not. They are. Anyway, we're done.
To reach their goal. And they ended up getting 53,904. They got 14 days to go, so you can still back them. They have quite a few stretch goals, because it's basically going to cost $150,000 total to fund the telescope for another year.
Right.
Of
just
mapping.
Like maintenance cost or whatever.
Yeah, for the scientists that are actually sitting in there and doing the mapping. They had some really cool goals they still do that you can get in on. Down to $2, you get a membership card to show that you're part of the team. $10, get a thank you card, and one of the astronomers will sign, personalize a thank you postcard while they should be focused on observing. And it says you'll be told where they were mapping so you can look that field up later. And then for $20, you get 5 glossy illumination postcards, blank on the back, perfect for sending or framing, plus every goal below. $40, you get a mission patch. They made a NASA-style woven mission patch.
Nice.
That you'll get. And then with the $40, you get everything below. So the 20.
Of course, as it usually
is. How are you guys doing over there?
He's attacking my boobs.
And then for $75 or more, you get the obligatory Kickstarter T-shirt, as they like to call it, because everybody has a sweet T-shirt, so they made one. You also receive all the rewards for the lower player. The higher they get, the better they are. So at $100 or $70 US, so I don't know, $100 Australian, for $70 US, you can adopt an interstellar cloud.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Haven't you always wanted to own a part of the sky?
For how much did you say?
$70.
Okay.
So it's not super cheap.
I already bought a star.
How long do you adopt it for?
I don't know if I want to have a cloud.
Forever.
Too. Yeah.
Just making sure.
18 years, and then it goes to college.
Well.
So now this one was cool.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Kids or the cloud?
Both.
I thought this was cool. So for a science teacher, I think this would be super rad. $175 US. And you can visit Moper in spirit virtually, shadowing one of the astronomers during observations via screen sharing and video chat. It says, we'll talk you through the observing process, reducing the data taken, and creating the pretty pictures seen on our website. And then if you live in Sydney or Adelaide, they'll host you at the university for the day.
That's really cool.
And then you can also get them for $351. You can have them do a virtual Skype call to your classroom or library or really anywhere, even your living room if you wanted. And then they will do a whole video presentation on MOPRA, the satellite, and what they can do with it and the telescope. And then, telescope. and then they will do a Q&A until the person drops or you run out of questions.
Wow. So but that all would, day.
Yeah, so Australian internet, they're going to drop.
No, but yeah, so they will do that. So I thought it was a really cool thing.
It's a pretty cool looking telescope. I'm looking at a picture of it.
It is cool. And it's
a radio telescope. Yeah. So.
What does that mean?
No optics. It's basically looks like a big satellite dish,
mm-hmm.
but it's giant.
Is it like the SETI telescopes in New Mexico?
Probably, yeah.
That series of radio telescopes. Yeah. That you see in, like, every sci-fi movie, they always show SETI.
This one is 22 meters
Holy
across.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's, like, 70 feet.
Yeah, that's massive dish.
So I wonder what are they going to do with it after the year's up?
Either they're going to re-get funded, hopefully, once they map the Milky Way. That'd be cool. Otherwise, it will end up getting shut down eventually. But what really got to these scientists was basically they weren't done. Mapping
right.
the Milky Way, and that was their whole mission with this telescope, was to map the Milky Way. And so they reached out to the public saying, hey, we really want to finish what we came here to do, and we need your help. And they created a bunch of cool gifts and goals, you know, to kind of drive it, and they did a good job. And I think it's super rad. And I like that some of them will also give you, like, let's see, what's the lowest one? There's one that will give you like a digital version of everything they mapped in high definition, which right I on. Thought was That's super cool. Cool. Yeah. But yeah, so it's the $175 one, the Skype visit. They'll also receive everything, and you also get a cloud adoption as well. I want to adopt a fucking solar cloud. Or whatever, I guess you call it, like a nebula.
$70 though.
175. Well, no. $70 if you want just
for
the cloud.
Just the cloud, yeah.
Maybe I want to Skype with these fools in my living room in my boxers. I'll be like, "What's up, Mopra?" No, I thought it was super rad though. I'm stoked they get to continue what their work. I could only imagine how frustrating it would be to have mapped a large section and then get your funding ripped away.
Right, exactly.
Because I'm not a scientist, but I feel like if I really loved something and I cared about it, and then somebody told me, we're done funding you, you're done, and you're like 80% complete, and you're just like, are you fucking kidding me? We're 20% away from being done. You know, because like they have this right here. They show you basically out of the Milky Way what's done in green, and then all the red splotches are what hasn't been completed yet. And so
almost there.
Yeah, they're almost there. And like I said, they lost their funding, and that sucks. But if they raise a certain amount, they're going to get matched by the school for their funding to help them complete it. So basically, if they reach their $150,000, they need a $75,000 from Kickstarter to actually get the full funding for an entire year.
What, $75,000 was the goal?
Yeah. Okay. And if they finish the Milky Way, they're just going to move on to other things as fast as possible. And nice. Start charting them with their radio telescope. Super cool. Anyways, yeah. Kickstarter Mopra. Hashtag Team Mopra. Very cool. It's a thing.
That's all right. Thing. Well, away from space for now.
No.
We'll go back to it later.
Right. Yeah, only temporarily. We're coming back. Don't worry.
We do need to make a, I guess, a correction or an update to something we talked about last week.
Oh, what did we screw up?
About Konami canceling the AAA console game development.
That is correct. Now, granted, it wasn't just our mistake. It was kind of...
Oh, no. A lot of people made that mistake.
The internet's
mistake. Yeah.
We just copied it.
But we'll take all the blame. We'll take all the responsibility for
all
that.
All the hate mail.
Send
whatever.
It our way.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. In any fashion. But so what happened exactly, Adam? Because what we had heard was that they were moving away from AAA games entirely.
Basically, just a few days after our episode release, they came out and said like they don't know where these rumors were coming from, or they are most definitely still working on console games and franchises such as Metal Gear, Silent Hill, Castlevania, and then PES, just Pro Evolution Soccer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, well, that was the one that, remember, last week we had said that was, like, the only game they were going to continue working on. But so they're still working on games, although, like we said last week, I don't really care about a Metal Gear without Kojima. Yeah. So,
or a Silent Hill.
Yeah, I'd maybe be more open to that. We'd see, you know, it depends what it looks like, but I don't really have too much. No, definitely,
no Metal Gear.
Definitely no Metal Gear without Kojima. I have not played Phantom Pain yet, but I imagine you'd probably be good with it being the last one too. So,
well, I mean, you never really needed it to begin with,
right? Exactly.
Like, I mean, four chronologically is the end of everything. Yeah.
But that was it. I guess Konami's not on as big of a spiral downwards as we thought they were. So
they're still on one, just it's not as out of control as we first thought.
And it's a really light week for news, by the way.
It
so,
was, yeah. It took some pull to find something to talk about at the beginning of this episode.
The only other thing I really have for gaming is article we saw just right before the show here about Black Ops 3 on Xbox 360 and PS3 is not going to have a single player mode.
So it's going to basically just be a map pack for the old gen consoles, but on PS4, Xbox One, and PC, it will have a storyline.
Have you played much Call of Duty?
Not at all. Not one lick.
I've never beaten one of the campaigns. Like, if I play Call of Duty with friends or something, you're just going in, you know, you
just want to shoot people.
Yeah, exactly.
I played, the last campaign I played was 2.
Black Ops 2?
No. Call of Duty
2. Oh, okay.
I gotcha. I might have played, like, the old Call of Duties, but nothing within the last, I don't know, 8 years.
You know, we can dig on
on EA and them for or Treyarch or whoever made Black Ops for not putting a campaign in the old gen consoles. But then, I mean, Titanfall existed entirely without a solo campaign.
A lot of shooters do. A lot of, especially PC shooters. A lot of PC shooters have no campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Titanfall did have a campaign, kind of. In the multiplayer.
In the multiplayer,
but
yeah.
It's still...
I'm never satisfied with that.
I wasn't either.
Though, you know, like,
either
as far
don't
as
do it or give it campaign. To you, like, a real campaign. Because, mm-hmm. like, Counter-Strike doesn't really have a campaign, but at the same time doesn't need a campaign, because that's not the point of it.
Sure it does. Terrorists and counter-terrorists.
Actually, one of your... Counter-Strike Condition Zero actually did have a single player.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. It wasn't good,
but, I was like,
but it had one.
I don't think I played since Source till the new one.
I have all of them. Yeah. So if you want to like, if you want to just look at it, I don't suggest playing the whole thing the whole way through. But
just check it out.
But check it out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I would look at that just to see how they fucked it up, because I feel like Counter-Strike should have never bothered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some games purely, don't really. If it's just a multiplayer game,
it's been purely
really
competitive since pretty much the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like. And that's their whole driving force. Nobody ever cared about wanting a campaign that I've ever heard of. It was all about log in and shoot better. That was it.
Yeah. That was in the mouth.
Just skate better, bro.
Did you hit your mic?
No, I hit the spring on
Don't
my
do it
microphone.
On her. Or I'll kill you.
Do you guys have anything else on gaming?
No. That was really the Konami thing was the only thing that I had this week.
Only other bit of news I have is last Thursday, the American Registry for Internet Numbers announced that they have given out the last IPv4 addresses.
Mm. I'm announced not IPv6. Super technically savvy, so I don't know what kind of how big of a deal that actually is.
It, to most of us, it won't really make any difference.
Okay.
It'll just be a transition that doesn't really affect you directly, you know. But it is something that needs to happen. It's been going on for quite a few years now that they knew they were going to run out of addresses. So
every PC that is built now, I mean, for really the last 5 years or more, is capable of accepting an IPv6 address.
Right.
But the infrastructure of our networks just doesn't submit, like, doesn't give you an IPv6.
Okay.
And the, our home... To, our
some
home,
of them do. It's yeah, Now it's yeah, starting
it's starting
to, get
to pick
there.
Up, but for a long time, you would just never see it. And yeah.
So Comcast doesn't give you an IPv6?
Not me, no.
I do. I get one.
Oh, okay.
I, like, on my router, it shows up as both, so, you okay. know. I imagine it has to do with however they have their mm-hmm. their networking set up, so.
They might be assigning it to...
Could be just for like backwards compatibility, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, will only affect people that deal with network type stuff.
Okay.
But I have an IPv6 address.
Well, you're here. He has an IPv6 address.
Yeah.
You have an IPv6
address.
You're on my land right now.
Yeah, I know, but I would at home too, right? I mean, I have seen that field blank before, but.
Mine's usually blank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't looked in a long time. I just happen to look right now out of curiosity.
Well, you're here.
It's really up to your ISP to if they're going to issue out IPv6 or not. I mean, you could always have converted your home network over to it, but that's completely unnecessary.
It's so unnecessary.
Yeah.
It doesn't improve performance. To the people that might not understand what an IP address is, it's like your telephone number or your address. There's really only so many of them that you can use in the system for IPv4, and we've ran out of addresses essentially.
Right.
They usually have some in reserve that they can juggle around essentially, but they can't give any more addresses to any more devices than a certain possible number, which is like
4.3 billion is what IPv4 does, and IPv6 is capable of just a insane amount more. Wikipedia says it's 7.9 times 10 to the 28th power
of IPv4
times many IPv4 addresses.
Good God.
It's a huge number. It is a huge number.
So we will definitely not run out, and that's going to be more important as like more things become internet connected in your house, smart homes, stuff like that.
Yeah,
eventually everything could have its own IPv IP address versus being behind like a NAT in your LAN.
Yeah. Yeah. Eventually, so. your refrigerator will need one, or your
some refrigerators already do. Yeah,
your smart. I was gonna say, I work at the Home eventually. Depot.
Now they've got refrigerators with like TVs built into the doors and all kinds of shit. And, like,
how often yeah. tell how you when to shop in front of your fucking door?
Well, like, well you could put like chef like cooking something, and then you could watch it in the kitchen oh. while you prepared the dinner with
okay,
them.
Fair
also,
enough.
They're gonna have smart. Refrigerators, which will know like what you don't have in your fridge, and then put it like sync it to your phone so that it's on a list. So
yeah,
you
no,
can buy
they
it.
Do right. have those now. Yeah. They'll oh, tell yeah. you like you need milk and eggs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And how does it know? Like, how does
you,
it know?
I'm pretty sure you have to put in what you have, and you probably have to update what you use. Because like,
that's
kind of
to be honest
like,
though,
scanning.
It wouldn't have to do that with some products because it could scan its barcode and use the internet to find out what it is.
That's true.
Right, but how would it know how much is left?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You'd have
like
to
if you had a half a gallon
if it's
of
not
milk,
in there, then...
Just if it's missing.
Yeah, if it's missing, yeah.
then
it
would
know. But if
you pulled it out and threw it away, hopefully you know that...
I don't know how it would tell quantities. Yeah. There's going to have to be some user interaction, obviously, but there's ways to automate it.
Yeah, no, the...
And then you can send tweets and Facebook posts for most of them.
My favorite thing about appliances is planned obsolescence on the manufacturer's part, which is they stop making parts after 2 years after they release it, which means you have to buy new appliances.
It's been that way for ages.
I know.
Computers are that way.
And I think it's crazy. I'm just like, but then you get third-party companies that make parts
specifically
and then sell them for more.
Void.
Yeah, well, because then they know you need it, and they know the manufacturer doesn't make it, so where are you going to go? Right? So... Yeah, fuck appliance world, PC world. Fuck everybody.
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't make things like they used to.
Well, it's like cars, you know. Like there's still people that make tons of old car parts, but they don't do that for a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. you know. And it is frustrating being like if you were a homeowner, and your dishwasher goes out, but they don't make the part, and you just need like a specific line. Then you either have to find a company that will make it for you,
right? Either you reproduces know. It if it's a common appliance, or
yeah.
Just hope there's
because
still
the
some,
manufacturer's like, nope, we moved on. That's so 2 years ago. Like, sorry, that doesn't exist anymore. You need a new one. And they all break after 2 years. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, that's how they make the money.
Exactly.
Yeah. unless you guys have anything else, that's all I have for news.
That's
so.
It.
That's all I got.
I think we, let's see. We'll move into my game. We'll go back to space.
All right.
Because I know Adam knows a bit about this game, too.
I was going to have two games this week, and this was going to be one of them, so you took part of my thunder.
We did double the research, so it should be even better then.
Yeah, that's good. I like the way you think.
Yeah, the game I'm talking about is called Universe Sandbox Squared. So it's a sequel to Universe Sandbox, which was a... game that
Wouldn't
came out.
Universal Sandbox times Universal Sandbox just be Universal Sandbox?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But twice as good?
Would it be a Universal Sand Cube?
It's more detailed? I don't know. Anyway, this was a game that... I'm trying to find the guy's name. I can't find it right now.
It's one guy.
It was one guy that made the original game.
Yeah.
This one is actually
and then they did a complete rewrite of the original game, and now with
Giant Army.
With an astrophysicist, a climate scientist, and a dedicated physics programmer to help with them. So a lot more detailed in this one. Did you? You were going to tell us a story here about what you did to Pluto. You've been trying to tell us this for a while.
So I have a couple stories. First of all, this game is super in-depth. I mean, you can select individual bodies in space, change their density, their size, their gravity, their rotation on their axis, how fast they travel through their orbit, all kinds of, like, you can manipulate everything. So first thing that I did after I got through the basic tutorial, and I do recommend anybody that wants to play with this, there's like 9 tutorials. Go through all of them to get the full grasp of everything that you can do.
So you know all the different...
Yeah, exactly, because it is very, very in-depth. But it's what I did. I was just like, oh, I finally get to fuck around with stuff and I'm out of this first tutorial. And the first simulation they set you up with is just our galaxy. Or not our galaxy, our...
planet.
Their solar system?
Solar system.
Yeah.
You know, just sun and our
planet.
Solar system. Yes, thank you. Wow. But Pluto is out there. It's only 8 planets, and then you have that individual body. I'm like, I'm totally going to go make Pluto a planet because I just watched that episode of Rick and Morty. So I increased the size of Pluto, and I was like, oh, bigger planets.
need higher gravity because of reasons, because I'm not an astrophysicist, so that
makes
sense.
Like triple the gravity.
Yeah, so I don't know how much I increase the
gravity.
Wouldn't
a larger planet have higher gravity?
You can modify the size of the planet, the mass of the planet, okay, the gravity. Like, yeah, you can change all these variables separately.
Wouldn't that increase?
If you increase the size without increasing the mass, it becomes a gas giant. Then.
Okay, there you go.
So you have to increase everything equally, so it will just kind of enlarge its own.
Fairly realistic as a.
Well, I just watched somebody destroy Earth 15 times over with asteroids. They put like 15 Earths in a row,
yeah,
and then had them get hit with asteroids from different angles, and you get to watch like Earth like explode and burn around the
thing. I watched this video of this guy do like 5 or 6 different stars and just make this huge supernova.
So what I did though is I was just like, oh, I'm gonna up the size of Pluto, and I'm gonna up the gravity, I'm gonna up the mass, I'm just gonna up it all, I'm just gonna fucking wing it, why not? Well, in that process, I upped the gravity way too high, so Pluto collapsed on itself, and then kind of became a black hole and ate the galaxy. And then all of a sudden, nothing. Just fucking darkness.
And you're nice. Like, well.
And then another simulation is it's two galaxies spinning above each other, and they have a nudge tool, so I just like, very low impulse, I just like slowly nudged one galaxy into the other and spent 20 minutes just watching one galaxy fold into another.
And it should be said too, like, you can adjust the speed of this also, because sometimes it takes billions of years for galaxies to collide.
Yeah.
So I think it like there was one setting that went up to like a million years per second or something like that, I think.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
I also shrunk the sun and then watched Earth go through a ice age.
Yeah.
An ice age. That was fun.
If you crash the moon straight into Earth, like, you can just watch it as it heats up and the water evaporates off of Earth. Yeah. It just becomes this big fireball.
It's so much fun.
Cool off and reform, and all of the continents are different looking.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome.
Especially with the whole speed up thing, because then you can actually watch stuff as opposed to just like waiting.
Yeah. It also shows your supernova.
Yeah.
Screen just white. No, that seems very, very, very cool. It looks really fun. It's straight up, the name gives away.
And the
exactly
founder's
what
name, I finally found it, so to give him some credit, is Dan Dixon.
Oh, good old Dan D.
Good old Danny Dick.
He created a software company, Giant Army, which is the people that are now working on it. So
right.
And the few other
he's
people.
He's the founder of this actual developer group.
Right. He's the one that made the original game. And
yeah,
now
also,
this team, him and the rest of his team now have completely rewritten the game to make it more in-depth, prettier.
I think this comment.
A bit more realistic.
Gives you everything you need to know. If you want to destroy your house, this game is for you. If you want to destroy your suburb, this game is for you. If you want to destroy your city, state, country, continent, world, solar system, universe, 10 out of 10 would destroy humanity again.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. You'd be surprised how many times you can destroy Earth and it'd still be satisfying.
Well, there's so many ways to destroy
it. Exactly.
Like, what happens if I just drag Jupiter and let the gas giant swallow Earth?
One thing that I did do is there is one simulation is just focused on Earth, and it's so you can tinker around with like different ways that you can manipulate the
some of these screenshots, like, though, are epic as fuck.
You know, the clouds and the air and
just like the climate and the different
climate. That's what we're
looking
for.
Can you load enough stuff that it'll like bog down your process?
Oh yeah.
Oh yes, absolutely.
For sure.
But one thing,
especially if then you time warp and you have like 100 Earths that you've created all like orbited around each other.
Yeah.
Like they'll start to merge together, and like then they'll start to orbit around the bigger one, you know.
But yeah, so in this climate simulation that you can do, which focuses on one planet, you can actually add a planet right next. You can add different bodies right next to it. So what I did is I added the largest solid body you could, so it wasn't a gas giant, but it was the largest body, like a prefab body, and I put it as close to Earth as possible that Earth wouldn't just instantly get sucked into it and destroyed. And what happened is Earth's orbit around this became this huge oval, so like it would slow down around the curves and then just come rocketing through really close to the other planet and then slow way down. and then come speeding past it again.
That would be fun.
It's
a balancing act. It would just be fun to dick around with.
It is, and not even destroying stuff. Just looking at shit, like the scale of things, yeah, is cool. Mm-hmm. Like you can just drag planets around, look at how much bigger our sun is compared to our planet, mm-hmm, or other stars compared to our sun.
Well, and when you do like a full on galaxy simulation, like you can scroll all the way into a sun and then, mm-hmm, see the planets around that sun, and then scroll out and see several suns next to each other, several galaxies next to each other, solar systems next to each other, and you scroll out and just, yeah.
And then you can just plop a giant black hole in the middle of it
and watch it all sucked away. And the farther you scroll out, it'll tell you how many light years you've scrolled away from your focal point, because you can change, yeah, your focal point in the, yeah, universe or wherever it's at. And you're just like, oh, all of a sudden I'm 30,000 light years away from where I started.
It's kind of like clicking on related videos on YouTube. You're just like, I'm 30,000 videos from where I began.
Another thing that I thought was cool about the developer that I thought was worth mentioning is they're from Seattle, Washington.
So, yeah!
Woo! Yep.
Locals.
Hometown heroes.
Yokels.
Yeah.
Local yokels. No, I mean, this is really cool.
It really is, and it's only $25 on Steam, I believe.
$24.99, so yeah, so, $25.
Not bad. I could sink hours and hours into this game just messing around.
Just tinkering. That's all. Yeah. It's just a game to tinker, and it's just a ton of fun.
Yeah, for sure. You said you played the first one, right?
I did.
And just not,
It wasn't, it's probably, it doesn't look as good as
this is much more polished and stuff, yeah.
Far more polished. And I was having issues with installing the game. I was able to install it once, and then after uninstalling it, the game would just crash immediately after.
I'm guessing it wasn't on Steam, though, was it?
It is on Steam.
Oh, it was, okay. Yeah.
The first game was not, you know,
optimized publisher very
gold,
well,
you know, like developer gold.
Or right, anything. Exactly. But now this came out of that. So.
Yeah, no, and this was a lot of fun. I actually, after the show, plan on going back to my computer and tinkering some more with the universe.
But yeah, no, if you're into space and you like the kind of games where you can just, sandbox kind of games where you can just, yeah, do whatever the hell you want, this is definitely worth checking out, for sure. So,
especially if you have any sort of god complex, this will make you feel great.
Well, also, I was just reading in the comments from somebody who's said he's been playing it since Alpha 8.3, said he bought the original in U.S. in 2009.
Uh-huh.
And what he's saying is the rate of development is insane. He said he's ran it on 4 different computers, and he said, I would say 90% of U.S. 2's features have implemented this year alone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and he said, he's like, it's actually come to a point where he's like, it always makes me wonder, like, imagine US 2 next month. It'll be 10 times better because they're just adding so much stuff all the time.
Which is always really nice to see from a developer, like, them being committed to adding more and more to their game.
I would imagine the development into this game is insane. Like, yeah, just the amount of work that goes into this.
What were the people that they hired? An astrophysicist?
We got a climate scientist, an astrophysicist, and a dedicated physics programmer.
Yeah, that's a team with a lot of credentials.
And it went from a one man team to six, seven man team.
So something they're working right now is what they call they're adding called SPH, and it says that stands for something I forgot, particle hydrodynamics. And this guy's really stoked on it, but he says a simulation of the planet in many different particles. This means it can break up when under tidal stress and deform awesomely in collisions.
Wow.
So they're working on that right now, and they're going to add it. So yeah, that's super cool, man.
And then one thing that I didn't come across at all in any of my tinkering, but it's in the Steam description, is there's actually simulated dark matter in this as well.
Oh. I saw that. Yeah, I saw that in the description, but I haven't ever.
Yeah, I haven't come across it yet either. But
I wonder how much they can really simulate, since we don't fully understand.
Well, which is what I'm kind of
interested about.
You're simulating
our understanding of it is. Yeah.
We have a decent understanding of it. We just don't have enough. We don't have an understanding of how it works.
Yeah.
But we have kind of a theory of how it affects gravity.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly.
And light.
I mean,
but yeah,
it's mostly because of gravity, because there's not enough mass in most of the galaxies to account for the amount of gravity to hold everything together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
crazy, crazy
man,
space.
Space is crazy.
Yeah.
All kinds of It's mind-boggling so crazy out there.
Adam's shedding tears.
Singular tears.
Shedding manly
just
tears.
Just one. Just one. It's okay. It's okay to cry for space.
Yeah. I mean, it's just
so beautiful.
It is. It's so beautiful. Are real.
That's but so yeah, cool. Check this out. I'll try to link at least one of the videos on our site because they're pretty cool to watch. And
it's at least worth going and checking out some YouTube videos of other people's simulations. Yeah. And just like kicking back and watching.
If you don't want to buy it after that. Then,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sure. If you don't want to buy it after that, something's wrong with you.
Real science, real physics, no supercomputer required. It's a good motto.
Which is cool because you actually, like, not only are you sitting there tinkering and stuff, but you actually, there's a bit of learning to it in an astrological level. It's just like, yes, I have to, if I want to create my own solar system, have to learn, like, gravitational pull and rotation of planets around suns. And there is a learning curve to this.
I say we fuck up Mars. Who's with me?
I actually didn't tinker with Mars at all.
I'm actually
Earth
excited.
Or Pluto or the sun.
I'm actually excited. I wasn't going to bring this up because this is one of the things I was reading about news stories. Yeah. But because we don't know anything about it until Monday. But NASA's got a huge announcement on Monday about a new discovery on Mars. So
yeah, I heard about that.
I will be watching that 8:30 in the morning on Monday.
I will.
It'll be all over the internet anyway. So
I want to listen to it live.
Listen to it work.
I'm sure we'll talk about. I'm sure we'll talk about it too next week. So
I hope so.
At 8:30 in the morning on Monday, I will be sitting in the parking lot of my work trying to figure out how to check this out on my phone.
Well, actually, then there is a link that you can already go to, so you'll know which you'll be ready when it goes live. I'll try to post that on the website if I remember. So that way, it'll only benefit you. Yeah. And I guess you could click on it and go and watch it again later, though, probably.
Well, you people out there, you can get the link if you can't find it, if you don't know how to use Google. I guess I could Google it, too.
It's tricky. But you should come to our website first before Google.
Yes.
Always.
Always. Our website and
homepage.
Homepage.
So, I think... Okay, I think Peter had some tech for us.
I have some tech for you guys.
Yours seemed really interesting. I really don't know anything about it, so
I kind of wanted to be surprised. I saw it on there, and I chose not to read it.
Because you're lazy?
No, I saw the picture. I'm excited. Peter's going to explain it to me in great detail.
In great detail. Their Kickstarter actually doesn't have...
Great detail?
A lot of detail.
Well,
but,
fuck.
But I will give you... what I have. So for $89...
I'm out.
Sure. Fucking whore mouth. You can get the Scarp Laser Razor. So if you've ever used a razor before...
Nope.
Shut up, Adam.
Nope.
Shut up. I don't give a shit if you both have beards.
I still use a razor sometimes, though.
You gotta keep your lines clean, man. I mean, mine are...
Just listen, all right? You're throwing under the bus before you even understand the technology,
yeah.
Bitch.
Fuck razors.
Fucking laser razor.
Oh, no,
sounds
I'm all
awesome.
On board for this, by the way.
Yeah.
So $80 does not seem too bad for a fucking laser razor.
So it's the future of shaving.
The future,
all right?
Adam.
The future. And so here's a picture of it, just to give you an idea. Right there. It looks like a normal razor. Shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth and look.
Okay, I looked.
Just look, Morty. Just look.
Just look at Morty.
Just look at Morty.
It defies all logic. What is that thing? It
defies all reason. So, this I'm just going to give you the pitch really fast. No scratches, no razor burn, no infection, no itch, no accidental cuts, no irritation, effortlessly smooth stroke, no painful waxes or messy something. What?
So I
you're,
just
you're
showed
interrupting
me.
Me.
I am.
I understand what you mean.
I'm interrupting you because Adam just showed me a GIF, and the informational GIF on it looks like a fucking lightsaber that cuts through hair.
So I'll get to the explanation, bro. I don't understand why you're not letting me do this. What?
Let him.
Hey, I was just quietly showing pictures.
I know. This guy.
He showed
this
me the same GIF before you, and I remained silent.
He's excited about it now, though.
Anyway, beyond the sales pitch, it is a razor that on contact with any hair in front of a certain lens uses a certain wavelength of light, of laser, to burn straight through your hair. So it'll just, you're able to, with no water, no nothing, that's one of the largest pitches, that it's green, there's no water or anything, and you can just Yeah, cut your hair.
That's awesome.
Is there a burnt hair smell after the fact?
Probably.
Probably. I've got to imagine.
However, it's not like burning an entire hair. Yeah. You're right. Burning
just a point.
A point. Yeah. A very small point that's right next to your face.
Yeah, I gotcha. So I guess that makes
it's,
a lot.
It's designed to literally burn the hair right from your skin. So the laser can't harm your skin, that certain wavelength laser beam, but it'll just melt the hair essentially at that fixed point.
I think this is.
Think about shaving your balls and not having to worry about it.
I'm not bringing lasers anywhere near my testicles. Okay,
I'm lasering.
You don't
want to
shoot photons at your dick, bro?
No, or my testes.
On the Kickstarter, it says that it produces no smell.
Oh, really?
Okay. On the FAQ, it says does it produce smell? And it says no, because we're not actually burning the hair. It doesn't produce a burnt hair smell.
Oh,
nice.
Okay.
No, I'm totally shaving my testes with this, Adam. Just so you know, probably chode too. And face right after. Yeah. No what dirty razor.
Do? Man, I have...
Just burning hair.
I have three places that I shave. Left cheek, right cheek, neck. Well, okay, I guess
get
four.
Neck
and,
beard, bro.
And genitals. I haven't done it in a while, but yeah. You know,
it's been a while.
You gotta, like, I just keep my lines clean, and that's it. I don't need to be shooting fucking lasers and photons at my face.
I do. Think about the
Why
fact
not?
That
I,
you
I
don't,
think this thing is awesome.
Do you have to change laser blades ever?
You no, I don't know how they're charged. There's not a lot of information because they're still in development.
Right,
okay. they're still heavily in development, and they're saying that they might not even have a version of it until March 2016.
Okay.
So they are the research is evident though. They have videos of him creating a laser and then shooting off hair on his arm. God, I had this word in my head. Maybe one of you can help me.
I'm with you.
I need something to
go. Okay.
Trigger?
No, shut up.
All right.
It's the cell inside of your body that associated with...
Chromophore?
Chromophore, yeah. And so essentially it's a wavelength that affects the chromophore cells in hair.
Okay.
To
right.
burn them.
And that's what it's doing instead of technically burning. That's why it doesn't get a smell.
Rid of it. Yeah. And so that was the largest problem that they had to overcome was they were able to burn certain types of hair, certain colors of hair.
Darker.
But not all colors of hair. So this is a wavelength of laser that cuts all colors, you know, even white.
Even though, that really super hard to see hair that you get. Okay.
What's the funding like?
Well,
they are well overfunded.
well overfunded. So the guy that made this is actually that had this idea in 2001 has actually been working on cosmetic lasers for a long time. So it's pretty well thought out idea. They wanted $160,000, and they're $456,000.
Wow.
So, you
they
know, twice. More than
their,
twice.
Yeah, they smashed their goal.
2 billion razors or razor heads are thrown away
each
year.
Yep. That's their environmental pitch.
And then, due to the hazardous nature of the blades, they can be sorted. They can't be sorted in no individual municipality or district procedures enough to make specialized collection cost-effective, so they end up in landfills and garbage dumps.
Yep.
It's tons of dirty
plastic
razor blades.
And metal. And that's not even just, like, Bic. It's also the refills from your razor.
Like my nice Gillette one I have, you know? Like, those are all those blade things that pop off the end, those all go away.
I mean, if you want a nice close shave, you have to have razors. Electric razors can get really close, but you can still feel stubble in almost
any case.
Oh,
absolutely.
I've never liked electric razors.
No, I just like them because of their ease.
Well, they are. They're fast. For me, I never want to, like, rub shaving cream on. I'm never in the mood for that. I'm always just like, flip open the back blade, do the the rough shave first, and then I just hit it with the other part.
And honestly, if you're using a razor blade instead of, like, one of those knives...
God, I'd shave every day with this.
You would have to have an electric shaver also if your hair is too long. Because you can't just run a razor blade over your beard.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, it just wouldn't work.
I actually, when I do bring my beard down super low, if it's really long, I actually take hair clippers to it first.
Yeah
I get it as low as possible.
Think about how excited you'd be to keep your lines clean with a laser razor, homie.
No, it's true. You're right. You would have some super crisp lines. Absolutely.
Super.
This thing is fucking awesome, but it's a bit too pricey.
What is one of these going to cost? $90?
No, $90 was the early bird. Special, the super early bird special that's gone now. The only one that you can, the cheapest one that you can get one for is $160 right now.
Yeah,
honestly, I'd almost pay for it though.
Okay, well, let's see. Assuming it's a rechargeable battery, the rechargeable battery lasts a couple years.
How much do you spend on a 4-pack of replacement heads if you go that route?
Expensive, man.
They're like $25 for like 3 or 4. So it's like
I probably spend about as much as you do. So
well, yeah, I know.
I go through maybe 2 or 3 a year.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you think about it in terms of having like a nice electric razor, it's really not that expensive. Getting a decent electric razor is going to be around $60 or $70
at least.
And so, like, if you wanted a really nice electric razor, you're going to spend like $100 or more. And so, I mean, this is
easy.
This is on par with buying one of those.
It is. I was all on board for 90. Just 160 is a little harder to swallow, is all.
No, definitely.
Depending how it recharges and stuff like that.
We can always wait until the product's released.
And then check it out.
We won't know until
later.
Yeah,
but then it might be like 300 or something.
There's actually no specifications on the product besides their research and the demonstration. Mm-hmm. And actually, they did it a lot like an infomercial. That if you watch the video on Kickstarter, it's actually poorly produced. And they're like, it's one of those bad infomercials. Like, do you hit gutting fish with razor? And then they're like, he doesn't go slowly, he doesn't start at the bottom of his neck and then
he just
slides it up his face, and he's like, it doesn't work very good. I'm like, well, that's because you're fucking doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Here it says the laser has a life of 50,000 hours.
Wow, okay.
It's pretty impressive. See, the battery is going to fail long before.
Oh, the Scarp Razor uses a single AAA battery that will last about a month with normal use.
We'll see.
Still, though, I mean, that would be something I'd be interested in. Just cheap. So, like, I buy this once and then just AAAs to keep my razor lines clean from here on out. Like, that would be super nice.
It would. It's a decent chunk to pull off right in the beginning. But after that, I think the overall benefits are way more money-saving over the life of the tool.
I would take everything they say with a grain of salt, just because they have risks and the risks and challenges part. Like, due to the size of the micro components involved, there will be an unknown levels of fine tuning required for automated production in high volumes.
Oh yeah.
So like nothing in any of the campaign information shows the actual product working.
Right.
You have
just
a CG rendered demonstration, and then a guy with an actual laser.
Just shaving his arms. Yeah.
And so, I mean, they say that it could be used a AAA battery, but I'm going to go with caution and say that they might change that in the future to rechargeable battery.
I could definitely see them changing that, absolutely.
I think it seems, I would think I would prefer a AAA battery. Maybe?
I would prefer a AAA battery as well, but, I mean, there's size complications with a AAA battery, because that has to be a very specific even length, you know, cylinder diameter, and so they're going to have to. That if you look at the actual model of the thing,
it doesn't look like a AAA would fit in that.
There's not a lot of space for a AAA battery.
It would take up most of the handle.
Most of that stem there, and then you don't have a lot of room for all of the electronics that I would imagine run the actual.
Are going to go into that? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. There's. It's got to be somewhat intelligent.
Yeah.
You know, I would imagine, because it's on contact. It doesn't look like the thing is actually, you know, shooting a field at your arm the entire time.
No, it's just whenever it touches something. Right. Yeah. I like one of the questions here on the FAQ is this patented? They're like, oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Don't steal it.
Yeah. But no, this is really cool. And more of these will come out if this is successful.
Oh, absolutely. So, absolutely. This might just slowly change the shaving game, if you will.
I mean, they've been looking. Shaving game is changing for a long time. Yeah. They say in here, their pitch is like, we've been using the same shaving technology for 5,000 years. That's a load of horseshit.
That's not true
at all.
That
is not true at all.
Yeah.
But
I don't think the shit Quattro has been around for 5,000
no,
years.
No, definitely not.
I still shave with a sharpened piece of obsidian.
You and me both, buddy.
Right? Volcanic rock. Oh, it's so good.
It's the only way to get a smooth shave. So.
It hurts so bad. I'm scarred for life.
I mean, what they should have done to make it more funny is, like, talked about the many casualties of shaving. How many people die a year from cutting their neck while shaving?
Info Johnny, how many people die a year from shaving?
Oh, so many.
Zero.
Like one.
Yeah.
Like suicides, maybe.
On purpose, yeah.
While we're on the topic of death and dying per year, did you know that more people have been killed by climbing towers and taking selfies than sharks in 2015.
I believe that, yeah.
Die from sharks, though, so I'm not really.
And a lot of people are stupid and want to climb up on stuff to take a picture.
I bet all of those deaths of people take out climbing towers and taking selfies are all in Russia.
Okay, so first off,
and Dubai.
Yeah.
And Dubai.
So it says, first off, there is no... Nobody's ever done a study on how many people have died. But there are some stuff like 5 men who died from shaving from the website The Art of Manliness. 3 bizarre cases of death by shaving and by mental floss. Men who died while shaving, badger and blade. Yeah, so I mean, there's a question like how many people have died from shaving with a straight razor. It says there are no statistics on death by straight razor. However, some people.
How many
have
mobsters?
I'm discounting murder. Yeah. I'm discounting murder right now. Before we go, like, yeah, definitely in any of those movies.
There
where
are
the,
only
the
5 known men who died from shaving. That's it.
Ever.
How did they
Ever.
Do it?
With a piece of obsidian.
five known men, and they're all from the Ice Ages.
Yeah. I'm surprised we still have those records. That's the impressive part.
Administration back then was much better.
Yeah. We were very, I don't know, notorious for our note-taking. It's how we outlived the dinosaurs.
Or it would, I feel, if anybody would do it, it would be fucking Egypt. I mean, seriously.
The kind of fucking hieroglyph of a
man died from obsidian.
He was using a cat. That's how it happened.
And the gods got angry.
We are running out of vamp, John.
So one, Michael F. Farley in 1921, he died because little did Mr. Farley know that the badger brush the barber was using to create the nice, luxurious lather on his face was contaminated with, I kid you not, anthrax. And then you got John Henry Taylor, a friendly horticulturist who took a trip on the Red Line cruise ship back in 1911. And the waves must have been pretty rough that day because the barber gave Johnny a little nick on the neck.
A little permanent smile?
No, and then didn't think much of it for the little nick on his neck of it when he returned to his cabin. But later that night, his throat began to swell up and fill with fluid. And it was blood poisoning.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Wow. So I'm not letting a barber... That's what I learned.
This guy, taking part in his daily shave, John Thoreau, cut himself with his razor. A few days later, he came down with lockjaw and died in his brother's arms.
Have you noticed that most of these people have been named John?
I thought that, too.
John Doe.
Well, this is Lord Carnivore on
1923. Carnivore John.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. 3 months or so. In the burial chamber of King Tutankhamun, beholding a site of treasure that had been viewed in 3,000 years.
Egypt!
3 months later,
oh,
he's
my God!
Da-da-da. Let me
first.
Find it.
Simpsons had already did it.
Simpsons did it. Simpsons did it. Man, John.
Well, what I was gonna like you wouldn't want to use one. Somebody else's razor or share somebody your razor with somebody else.
Hell
you know?
No.
But would you do that with this one? That's what I was wondering, because it's not... Like, with a real razor, you're still kind of taking off a first layer of skin.
Yeah. They're still
going
to drag this close
to
their balls.
You're ripping off dead skin,
so no.
Well, okay. Well, with the exception, if you only use
your
it for
your
face. Your
balls are cleaner than the rest of your body.
That's true. That's a valid
that,
point.
They're the cleanest part of a man's body, period. So, I mean, that doesn't really bother me. I could just, you know, run soapy water over it.
Because
you can use it with water. It says that you can.
Yeah. Oh,
so, I mean, I don't know why... You would.
I was just wondering if it razor burn? If you would be less or if it would seem less weird to share a razor.
Well, I think
like
it would
this.
Be harder because then because what you want in that scenario is all of the hair to be perky. You know what I mean? That way you can get under it.
Not so
and much. You know, and then if the hair gets flushed to your skin, I feel like you might have
Which
unexpected results.
Yeah,
and I mean if you because like,
if you can't make contact with it, then
well, and if you're like fresh out of a hot shower, everything's gonna be laying nice and smooth and like. Close to your face, so it would be a lot harder.
Depends
to
on
shave.
The, what kind of hair you have. I mean, with John's hair, for example, it would be that way. My hair would not do that.
With my
dick.
I lifted the table lightly on this side, and then he looked at me funny, and then I just like, no.
That's my wiener.
So Lord Carnarvon, I think he died because of the Tutankhamun curse, because he went into the chamber, and then 3 months later, he was dead. He apparently got a mosquito bite on the cheek, and he cut it off while shaving, cut it open,
shit.
And then died of an infection. So I'm just saying, the dude went into an ancient burial tomb, got bit by a mosquito, and then shaved the mosquito bite open,
and
then died. Curse.
This razor would have saved him.
This razor would have saved him. That's the whole point I'm trying to make, honestly. You're going to save 5 lives over the course of 5 the next 5,000
something
years?
Like that.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
If everybody has one of these, there's no more deaths by razors.
And just walk into Tutankhamun's fucking burial site like it's nothing.
Yeah. Totally just pull a Rick and just put the guns up. Yes.
I totally don't believe in you, God.
Well, that's all I've got.
All right, then. Well, it's moving on.
Moving on.
Moving right along. Yeah. Well, back
moving
to gaming
on as he gets
now.
His notes ready.
Yes, back to gaming. Well, first thing I want to say about my segment is I was going to have two games for you guys this week. I was going to have Missing Translation, which is what I will be talking about. That is going to be an extremely short review. And then my second game, because that was so short, was going to be Universe Sandbox Squared.
Let's talk about it again.
All right. So I did this thing with Pluto, you guys.
You don't say.
Yeah. It's where it swallowed the universe. But since we've already talked about Universe Sandbox 2 and how awesome it absolutely is, if you've got some time to kill and you're actually interested in the mathematics of how everything works, check that out. But Missing Translation, it's free on Steam. Which I actually thought was really cool for the type of game it is. Because most of the time you see free games on Steam, it's like a pay-to-win MMO or a pay-to-win FPS. Or sometimes you get a good one like Dirty Bombed where it's not necessarily pay-to-win, but putting some money into it helps speed things along.
Putting money into Dirty Bomb just allows you to unlock characters faster.
Right, so I mean it speeds the unlock process along, but it's not a pay to win.
Exactly.
No, exactly.
It doesn't give you an upper hand on anybody, it just gives you the option to play a different class.
Right, and so that's what I'm saying, like every once in a while you get a good one like Dirty Bomb that does that. This one, however, no, I was actually praising them for their model on free-to-play. Or, like again, just like LOL, to where it just kind of helps speed things up if you want to buy XP boosts or RP boosts, what have you. This one, however, is completely free to play. So far, there's no DLC that they're charging for. There's no way to give this person money through Steam. But it's what it is. It's published by Games Booster, and it is developed by AI Pixie Games. So those are the two teams behind it. And it's a side-scroller puzzle game that... So the game starts out, and it's all 2D, black and white, very pixelated art. There's absolutely zero dialogue. You pick a male or a female and you just la la la. You watch this little thing where like he gets ready for bed and then he goes to bed and then he wakes up and then he goes outside and then he's abducted by aliens.
And so sounds like a Tuesday.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're in this super weird world where you can't understand anything anybody is saying. You can't read any of the signs.
But geometry.
Exactly. So all of the puzzles, it's a puzzle game.
I just want to say one thing.
Yes.
On the Steam sale page, the very top of it, there is a warning that says, English is not supported. This does not have any language in it at all.
No, not at all.
No one says anything ever.
No, it's all... So far, all of the puzzles that I've come across are just pattern recognition puzzles. So a lot of them would be like... One of the first puzzles I did was imagine a D-pad on a controller, right?
It's funny because on Steam it says every language is available.
Oh, so. Not today, man. I was on there today and it said English not supported. They must have changed that. Like, they must have changed that recently.
Well, because even in the start menu, like you get what looks like a play button, just the sideways triangle, and that's the only thing you can select, and there's no dialogue or settings or anything on the menu screen. It's just one button you can press to play the game.
The play button.
Yeah, the play button, exactly.
Can you look on the Steam client?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
And so what I gathered from while I was playing it is you're basically stuck there and you're trying to figure out a way to go back and you've got a multitude of puzzles to solve to unlock some sort of key or something or some sort of gate so you can get back home. I have no idea. I'm not that far into the game. But it's just puzzle after puzzle after puzzle after puzzle. So if you like critically thinking games... If you want to just sit down, kill 15 minutes, work on some puzzles, this is absolutely a game for you. Super basic puzzles, but a lot of the times you have to solve 25 levels of that puzzle to beat the puzzle. So you're sitting there doing this puzzle for quite a while. But, I mean, it's fun. Like I said, it's a great way to kill 15 minutes. It's completely free to play. I was actually really, really impressed with what it did. It's called Missing Translation. So, like, when you go up to talk to somebody, so the controls are WASD for directions, and then E to interact. And then some of the puzzles, you also use Q
instead of E, just because E will take you out of the puzzle, like you're walking away from the terminal that you're working on, because that's how most of the puzzles are done. Very, very basic controls, but if you walk up to somebody, they will give you several speech bubbles in a row, and that speech bubble will have a pattern in it, and then you pull up your speech bubble, and it's just nine dots in, like, a telephone grid, and you have to match their pattern to continue the conversation.
You must have just changed that.
Checking on the Steam client to see if it was there or not.
But yeah. Well, I mean, either way, if there's no dialogue, then either all the languages are supported or they're not.
Right, exactly.
Both is true.
They wanted the positive instead of the negative, I would imagine.
But it's actually pretty interesting for a little free puzzle game. Well worth the time to check it out. I mean, everybody's got 15 minutes to kill here and there, and this is a great way to do
that. This isn't like one of those weird puzzle games where you, like, click on something and a key falls from a blind, and then you click on something else in the room and there's a password written under a lampshade. You know those ones like the locked room puzzle games?
Yeah, no, this is nothing like that. This is more like you walk into a room, there's a terminal in front of a large screen. That large screen has a design in it. You go interact with the terminal, and all of a sudden you're looking at that large screen with the design, and that is the puzzle.
Gotcha.
So, like, one of the ones that I remember, the one that actually I spent the most time on before I came to the show was, imagine a D-pad on a controller with the four directional buttons and how they all kind of taper into each other at the center. It's a bunch of those. Some directions are light on the D-pad, some directions are dark on the D-pad, and you have to rotate all of the D-pads. So where they touch another D-pad is either light or dark, and you have to go through and make, so like this grid of nine, every connection to another symbol matches. So you've got to work on both directions, and then you get into a grid of 16, and then you've got
it's
to work
on... It's a virtual Rubik's Cube.
It kind of, yeah. It's a lot of pattern recognition puzzles so far. Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. I was just sitting there having a few drinks, solving puzzles before I came to the show. It was a good time. Like I said, really short. It's really fun, and it's completely free.
Can't beat that. So.
Hell no, you can't.
Free is the best price.
But that's all I got on it.
All right, so I am going to talk to y'all about Glowgene. That's right.
What is that, John?
Glowgene? Funny you should ask, Peter.
Does it make my jeans glow in the dark? Because I'm about that.
Well, this nice little description on the video pretty much sums it up. A lab in a box that lets you create cells that glow, eat plastic, create fuels, etc. using DNA from other animals. And so basically they're doing gene splicing and...
in the kitchen.
Yeah, no. It's a home kit. So basically there's a bunch of students, and what they realized was they're into gene hacking and splicing and stuff like that, and DNA hacking, and they... realize that even to get a small kit going up for home is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the cost of creating your own little biology lab in your house is quite pricey.
Oh, absolutely.
Your own little clean room. And so what they wanted to do is create a kit that gave you the tools required to do it at a basic level, where you could have a lot of fun and form a really solid understanding of what's going on. And then they give you... So basically, how does it work? It says, we give you a special cell that can take DNA from animals and plants. Now, the thing about the cell they give you is that cell they give you is designed that it, so that it won't interact properly with nature. So you could never worry about somebody creating something or splicing something and then releasing it out there and then creating something that just, like, eats everybody's grass and continually eats their grass, you know, because you created this organism that's just designed to do that. The cell they give you won't survive out there. So basically the basis for how you're making everything is genetically designed to not hold up in nature so that there can't be any issues like that. Or they also said you don't have to worry about people creating pathogens because they're one, complex, and two, there's nothing in this kit that would give you enough power to create something like that.
Just teaching you the foundations
exactly.
of it.
Exactly, and it allows you to make a lot of really fun stuff. So it says some GMOs you can create with the kit and you can extract. So you can... they'll give you these jellyfish extraction from jellyfish cells, and then it makes cells fluoresce, so you can make cells fluorescent. Coral makes cells in acrylic, red, blue, or green. Meat, so mammalian proteins.
It only
proteins.
Comes with the jellyfish one, right?
No, it comes with more than that.
Oh, it said because that's the only one that says already included, so.
Oh, continue. I got you. Yeah, maybe not. I might have been mistaken then. And then, so mammalian proteins like insulin, growth hormones, hemoglobin, hemoglobulin. And basically, so you can create cells that generate red blood cells and then, like, watch how that works. So there is no microscope included in this. You would have to come up with your own microscope to really observe what you're creating. But everything else is there that you need to do it. And the kit's pretty rad. Fungi, so enzymes that break down cellulose, oil, etc. Cheese flavoring enzymes. flowers, plants, so you can create good smells, fibers, different things like that. Bacteria, enzymes break down plastic and create fuel like ethanol. And so these are all in there. And basically it comes with a big how-to, like a nice how-to book that basically explains to you how to use everything you have. And then you can go from there. It also gives you, let me get to the what it's got in it. So equipment, you get an instruction book, a variable micro pipette. Adam's going to look that up right now. Oh, pipettes, those little piping things to like, use, it's like a, to suck it up and then squirt it.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So
it's this thing right here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it gives you 100 pipette tips. What a weird word, pipette. I don't know how you say that. One customized Bunsen burner that makes a protective sterile umbrella. So you get a Bunsen burner with it. A borosilicate flask to make your agar plates. Agar plates are what they use to
auger. Auger.
Auger plates?
That's what bacteria grows in.
Auger. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. See? I got all these smart people around me helping me out.
I hated science, but I was really good with biology.
Same.
So you're going to get the kit?
I didn't hate science, but I like...
Maybe. I'm actually more, like, you talking about this has made me more and more interested in 23andMe. That, I think, is a fantastic service that I should look into.
I think it's really accurate, too, because my coworkers were telling me all about it.
Yeah.
That's what we said in a blood and a saliva sample.
No, you spit. Mm-hmm. It's just spit.
Just saliva?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But you have to fill a vial of it, though, and you'd be surprised how long that takes.
Inoculation loop for spraying cells, which is actually just like a stick with a little weird metal loop on the end for spreading cells around in your petri dishes and stuff like that. A spatula for transferring powdered reagents. 50 microtubes, and then the reagents it gives you are the fluorescent gene to put in your cells to make them fluoresce. LB broth powder makes cells more happy and eager to take up DNA. A DNA extractor to extract DNA from other organisms to put in your cells. Endonucleus, used to cut DNA. Ligase, used to glue DNA together. Transformative agar. What? Agar?
Auger.
Auger. Well, like, an auger is a tool, but they don't spell it like that. That boggles my brain. Makes the cells take
really,
your DNA.
Really? Because 4, 4, and 4 are all different. Are all spelled differently.
Yeah. I could spell them all for you, too.
So it's 2. So it's 2, 2, and 2.
I know.
Isn't that 6?
Which is which? Except I think there's only 2 witches.
Yeah, there's only 2 witches in there.
So why did they say which is which?
Because it's a tongue twister.
Oh. Okay. No, thank you, though. Ligase? Is that right?
I don't know how you spell it.
L-I-G-A-S-E.
Ligase?
Lugies?
No, there's no U.
No, and then nutrient auger for growing cells.
It's nutrient?
And then, I don't know if I said it, the transformative auger, which makes cells take your DNA. And then it says, sounds too complex? That's all right. Our instruction manual and videos will help you out. Also, backers who buy a kit get refills at cost price for the first 5 years.
Nice.
Wow.
Which is a really...
That's nice.
That's a awesome. Really cool thing to do. And yeah, basically, it's just a kit, so you can do your own DNA and gene splicing and stuff like that. And it comes with what you would use to extract genes from stuff. So you can go out and get plant matter and stuff like that. And just get your own stuff. And
plant,
and
yeah, it says plant, animal, fungi. I think this thing is fucking awesome. So,
okay, because I had a science kit when I was a kid. My parents bought me a microscope. Like, it was a shitty plastic microscope.
Was it the one that with one eye and it was like black and, you know, rectangular?
No, mine was like plastic. It looked like a regular
microscope. Like that big or
yeah.
so?
Yeah, I only had a certain number. I had mine.
I was so excited about it because it had an actual like light that shined up underneath that lit up the tray, so whatever you were looking at.
I used to have a microscope when I was a kid, too. So
I cut myself so I could put my own blood on there.
Yeah,
no, didn't. Right?
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, that's like the only time I think self-cutting is acceptable when you're like, I have to see my blood.
For science.
For science. Well, for science!
I mean, you are the youngest boy in the family. Do you want to... Was it a cry for attention?
Mercury with chalk.
Yeah.
Science. It says scientists, and it says, how do you get the DNA into the cells? It says, we use the novel plate transformation technique in which the CaCl2 is within the auger, and the heat shock is from chilling the auger plate. And it says, how do you extract DNA without a centrifuge or a PCR? And it says, we use a crude DNA extraction method we developed to extract all genes for cloning. Purified DNA is not necessary. And then it says, what's your method of cloning? And it says, we use endonucleases and ligases. We have shown that these don't need to be effective at a specific high temperature to be effective. So basically, for people that are scientists, and they were saying, like, that are curious about how they're actually doing this without all these, like, really specific tools, they're just breaking it down very quickly in a way that I don't understand because I'm not a scientist. But basically, they're just saying, like, yes, our methods work. And we have methods, and the way we're showing you to do it will work for the basic level of stuff we're expecting you to get from the kit. The kit looks really nifty. It seems like a ton of fun. I would absolutely love to mess around with this. The Bunsen burner even looks pretty rad. I just want a Bunsen burner now. Is that weird?
What kind of crazy stuff do you want to do with this?
I just want to splice DNA. Like, that sounds Adam. Awesome.
Right? Like, I'm going to do dog-cat DNA.
What if you create Gizmo, like, on accident? What then?
They only have one left of the $250 or more pledge.
Jeez.
Well, so that's gone. Better
jump on that, John.
Yeah. By the time you hear this, it's gone.
Because
yeah. John
funding,
bought it.
Their funding goal was $851.
Yeah.
And they're at $10,054.
Good God.
It was still 47 days to go.
Wow.
Yeah, so they've got it. So it's $250. Is that the cheapest? Yes. It's $180, $177.
Okay.
Yeah, you,
and it contains all the reagents, all the equipment to create a whole array of genetically modified organisms.
I might have missed this because I wasn't paying attention, but since it is Australian, is there international shipping and such?
Worldwide.
It says okay. Ships anywhere in the world. All right, Yeah.
So yeah, I really wasn't paying attention.
No, I actually didn't say that. It was actually.
But you still weren't paying attention.
Well,
that's
the problem. I only have so much attention to give.
Well, give it better.
But honestly, for
he
everything,
really means fucks.
Everything yeah, you're getting, I think it's a really good deal.
I think like even if you look at the pledges, I think even the $21 one's kind of cool. It's a microbial test kit. Oh, so you can't do any of this cool shit like splicing DNA and cloning and shit, but just to kind of see what microorganisms are growing in your kitchen, bathroom, stuff
I'd
like that.
I'd rub it on my balls and be like, tell me.
It just starts glowing.
Oh my God!
But just think, if you got this fancy kit, that say error.
If you got this more expensive fancy kit, you could clone your children just in case anything horrendous happened. You could be like, well, good thing we have replacements.
Venture Brothers, you use them for exactly. Kidneys for you, and then you just replace them with a clone. They never know.
Make yourself a Morty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could.
What if I just clone myself and then make him go to work?
There you go. I'd rather make myself a Rick.
Multiplicity. That's what that means.
Yeah. Yeah. I just won't do it too many times.
But I mean, yeah. You can make
you won't stop.
Just one more clone.
You can make, like, solutions that, like, you could drop plastic into, and then the organisms in there that you created will eat the plastic.
No, I would love to play with this thing. It would be super fun, man.
I've always been a fan of anything science. I love the science.
Me too.
Well, you should check out Universe Sandbox then, because that's nothing but science.
Kind of.
Or I could check out Glowgene and start fucking cutting and splicing DNA and then open Jurassic World and kill everybody.
You need frogs.
And yet not be held accountable somehow.
You might need to learn a little bit more than what this kit offers.
I think this is the perfect starting point.
It is, absolutely.
Good stepping
and then I'll start
stone.
Looking for mosquitoes.
This and a couple other books, and you'd probably be good to go. I like the little logo they have, the little green DNA guy or whatever. He's supposed to be a little germ.
And
with like a little
inside of him.
Yeah.
My organism has an organism inside his organism. Yeah, no, it's... been featured on some stuff I've never heard of.
All right,
gadgets,
well,
and these are gadgets.
So you gonna order one so we can play with this?
So expensive. So poor. What?
No. Motorcycle's cheaper than this.
No, it's not. No, it's not even close.
Right, but it's more fun. Which is what I totally meant to say.
The cost of the motorcycle.
But you could potentially create life with this.
Can't you can potentially destroy life with a motorcycle.
Which is more powerful?
Creating life.
Creation of life.
It. Well, you can only destroy one when you're riding a motor, maybe a couple, depending on how you do it. This, though, I could possibly create endless life forms.
Yeah, you could create, like, a little microverse.
But you, well, not only can you make cells, you can use the enzymes they give you to promote cell growth, and then they can reproduce, and then you can actually re-extract. It says it's capable. You're capable of re-extracting genes from stuff you've made and putting it into other stuff. So, like, creating stuff and then re-splicing the stuff you've already used into other stuff. And, like, so it's really cool. Like,
I think a lot of stuff too. Oh, I think this thing's awesome.
I'm so ready to splice some stuff and make mini atoms. And they'll just say, mine, mine, mine. Okay, you can't do that. It's not possible. It's a bunch of bullshit.
No.
But God, if I could, I would. No, it's really cool. Again, it's called Glowgene. It's on Kickstarter. You can still pick it up. I'm sorry. If you fund it, if you want to do it, I would do it. Because if you fund it, for 5 years, you get refills at cost.
Oh, nice.
That is such a cool offer.
Yeah.
Like, if you fund us now for 5 years, we'll give you your refills at cost.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like it says in their description, is they're a bunch of students that love doing this stuff, and they want more people involved.
Yeah.
And with the high cost of getting started, they wanted to make a kit that allows you to do everything on a pretty basic level. And still have all the fun of learning.
Well,
about
Well, I mean,
the
plus this will help their field in the future, because if somebody gets an at-home kit and they have a kid and they get their kid involved while they're doing it, then all of a sudden their kid has found a new love for this, and then they want to pursue a career in it.
So the little green logo, his name is Barry, and it's a glowing jellyfish protein inside of him.
Oh,
nice. It says Barry, our special cell, waiting for some awesome new DNA so he can do things he could never do before.
Oh, Mr. DNA. How did you get here?
Oh, and the glowing jellyfish protein's name is Wee Wee.
That's weird.
Oh, hello, Wee Wee.
Wee Wee.
No, it's super cool. The easy to read instruction manual, that's what it's called. And then it says adding a gene, preparation, enhancing the cells, add DNA, place the cells in the glow gene auger. Boom. Said it right.
You said it right a bunch of times.
Yeah, no. Really a super rad thing. If this is something you were interested in, I think this would be the perfect way to get started. The basic kit gives you a lot of stuff. I'm sure there's other things you could buy, too, and I'm sure eventually, after this actually comes out, which I guess I should have looked up a date when they're actually planning on releasing these.
Ship in November. Oh, December, sorry.
So very soon. Very soon.
It says, once I create a cell line, how do I keep them alive? And it just basically says, our kit has all the material so you can maintain that cell line so your cells are safe.
This is how we get zombies. Somebody's about to make the rage virus. It's going to be 28 days later in this motherfucker.
It says, will my cells die before they are delivered? And it says, nope. Ha ha. Our little guys are quite tough. They should last a few months, which is enough for shipping and you to reculture them. So basically, once you get it, you got to get to work. Some of the reagents, such as cell growth media, can be sourced easily, but the DNA reagents will be a bit tough to buy. We'll most likely supply recipes with the kits to our users so that they can be a bit creative with the reagents.
Oh.
Does the Bunsen burner fit standard tanks? Yes, it does. So you can easily replace the tanks on your Bunsen burners. And then do some of the reagents require special storage conditions? It says some of the reagents, especially the DNA, will require storage in the refrigerator or freezer if you want them to be stored long-term. As for shipping, they will define a room temperature during the shipping times. Once you receive them, the kit will advise you which reagents will be best stored in cold. So, basically, once it
It'll
arrives...
It'll tell you where you need to put
it's
it.
It's like food. Should be refrigerated
it
after
should
opening.
Should be frozen. Should be whatever, yeah.
Yeah, well... But, no, it's super cool. Now, as... Does anybody see a date on here when they ship them?
I thought you just said November, December.
It's... Let's see.
Adam did.
I did, but I was actually wrong because
January
it's the,
2016,
yeah.
February 2016.
Yeah, it's February 2016 for the kit. It's December 2016 for that little microbial kit that I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
So that, like, that takes longer to get to you than the actual kit.
It's probably because they're like, well, we're working on this, but we'll put this other kit together when
we sell
it.
Maybe they have to, like, culture so much of something before they can really start shipping it, you know, like a large quantity.
That could be as well. Grow a large enough amount to make it.
But like, that's just the test kit, though. I wouldn't think that would.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so
February
I mean,
2016, though, is what this
that's not
is.
That far away.
Nah.
we're in the fall of 2015. I mean, honestly, it gives you plenty of time to do some research and learn about it before you get it. So when you get it, you hit the ground running, start cloning sheep, call them Dolly, and then the world hates you.
Then you, then you have companionship forever once you start cloning sheep.
Nobody ever said
me. Well, thank you for laughing. I thought it was funny.
And then, the glow jean shirt is cool. Peter. Yeah, so this right here says, isn't biohacking dangerous? This is what I wanted to read to you. So it says, we realize that public opinion against genetic engineering hasn't always been positive, and such a kit may stir some emotion in certain members of the public. So we assure you, glow jean is perfectly safe. Users cannot extract DNA from pathogens. It says pathogenic genes are quite complex and work in unison, and that organisms that are created with the kit aren't able to compete properly in the wild if they're accidentally released because of the strain used. So like I was saying, they're basically saying, no, you can't fuck up the world if you get a glow gene kit. You can't be like, I feel like Butters would buy this thinking he could ruin the world. He'd be like, ha, 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 nothing would happen.
Right, I'm going to make a new Black Plague.
You can still try. What's his name in the show?
Professor Chaos.
Yeah, Professor Chaos.
And General Disorder.
Yep.
I love the one where he's just spraying aerosol cans into the air, and then he's like, what? No CFCs! Anyways, that's about it. Glow Gene, check it out. It's on Kickstarter. Order it. Get it early 2016. Start your biohacking, man. Gene hacking. Get in the world. Splice some awesome. Shit.
I want to do it.
Right? I said we go in together, and then me and you just get some mad scientist lab coats, and we sit down and make glowy sauce.
Glowy sauce.
So what are you doing next weekend, John? I got some glowy sauce for you.
Ew.
You got a black light?
Oh, okay. I was like, what the fuck are you like? Ah, I'm part jellyfish. You never knew.
Would explain a lot.
Also, yes.
My sperm fluoresces,
but so, mostly no.
So is that all we got?
That's it.
Yeah.
Do we have a question this week?
Yeah. I want you guys to time travel back a year to 2014, and I want you to tell me, what were the top 5 best-selling games last year? No Google.
Call of Duty.
Which one?
Call of Duty,
Black Modern Ops. Warfare 2.
Okay, so John said Call of Duty, Black Ops.
And I'm going to say Modern Warfare.
And you said Modern Warfare. Okay.
Whatever the current Modern Warfare was for last year is one I'm going to go with, yeah.
Okay, so that's 2.
I don't play Call of Duty, so damn it.
Did a Halo game come out last year?
I don't know, ask your mic.
Did a Halo game come out last year?
No.
I can't tell you that.
Oh.
And if it did, I don't remember it.
Well, didn't GTA 5 come out last year?
Yes, it did. Yeah,
that's
GTA my 5. Yeah.
That's 3. Peter? Okay. No Google.
I'm thinking. I'm not fucking Googling.
Oh, cheating. Get mad
Stop
about
cheating.
It. Jesus, Peter. You hacks.
What else?
Well, man. Let's see. Wow. No, just kidding. It's like free to play last year.
Do you have a list or something so we can? Okay.
I have the top 10 from Forbes.
Okay.
Was there a Final Fantasy last year?
Oh, Forbes.
He's like,
not that I remember,
search.
But I don't know.
Okay.
Peter. Cheater.
What are you doing on your phone there, Pete?
He's cheating.
Say you put that phone face down on the table for a minute, like I closed my laptop.
I think he's looking for games that, like, released in 2014.
I am.
Which is That's sort of cheating, but it's okay.
Oh, well.
I've got 3 so far. 2 Call of Duties and GTA 5. GTA.
Battlefield.
Destiny.
Elder Scrolls.
Oh,
okay, so far we got Call of Duty, the most modern warfare, Black Ops, GTA 5, Destiny, and what was that last
Elder
one?
Scrolls
Elder
Online.
Scrolls Online.
Was that this year? I can't remember.
Are you guys done?
Sure.
I feel like one of them's a sports game. We just don't know.
Madden.
Probably.
Madden. Madden.
Okay, so from most selling to least selling in the top 10, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Madden NFL 15, Destiny, GTA 5, Minecraft, Super Smash Brothers, NBA 2K5, Watch Dogs, FIFA 15, and Call of Duty Ghosts.
Was there Forza in that?
No.
Wow, I'm surprised.
But there was every other sports game except baseball.
I was going to say.
Or racing.
Or racing, yeah.
Black Ops was probably like 5 years ago because I don't fucking follow Call of Duty.
So, yeah. Turns out that the most selling game last year was Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
That's because there's a bunch of 16-year-old kids who don't know what a good shooter looks like.
That's true, but Minecraft was number 5. Grand Theft Auto was number 4.
Every time I read about Call of Duty from the user community. Everybody talks about how much they hate it, and yet they all buy them every time they come out.
Sounds like every Destiny expansion.
Was that when Microsoft bought Minecraft or whatever?
I think so.
Yeah, because then it went mobile, went on Xbox, Marketplace, and like it was everywhere.
I thought it was mobile before it was sold.
It was mobile before.
There was a mobile
one. Because I remember my buddy playing it on his phone.
I have that mobile one, but it's
not that fun. Yeah.
It's all right. I mean, it performs really well.
To be fair, I haven't played it in forever.
Like, it performs really well on my cell phone.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the Minecraft on a PC. The problem with Minecraft is when I ever do get the bug to play it, I spend just a tremendous amount of time building a castle, and then once it's complete, I'm over the game. And the problem is, nothing ever feels complete in Minecraft, because you finish something and you're like, but it could be bigger, you know? And then you're like, I could have a whole underground network of secret passageways that are ultra confusing, and only I know the way out. But then you're like, there's nobody here to fucking get lost, so what's the point?
I haven't touched Minecraft in a long time.
I will say, like, making, like, loot generators for, like, you know, like, creepers, or like you find like one of the skeleton dungeons, and then you use it to like get bones and feathers continuously or whatever. You know, those are fun to design. Like, those are really cool, where you just put them in the water, drown them, and then the stuff like flows into a room, and you pick it up, and then you have a chest in there, and you just dump it off, and you just keep doing that.
Yeah,
like that kind of stuff. Like, designing is very cool. I made a really big one with my buddy Ed, and it went all the way through my farm, and so these skeletons would, like, float all the way through the farm and then down into this cave and then down into this place where I collected it all. But it was just funny because you perpetually had bad guys, like, floating down the river. And, yeah. Minecraft is fun. I could see it, especially for kids. It's virtual Legos.
Oh, yeah.
With endless pieces.
For a second, I thought Peter just checked out.
No, no. He's here.
No, Adam did.
That's right, yeah.
But, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, I guess that's all we've got then. We're going to listen to the sounds of...
it's a whale call!
Very, very cool Corona noises.
So where can they find us at, John?
They can find us on waiting4players.net. That's our website. You can hit us up on Twitter, the Book of Faces. We have this sweet button that will take you through Amazon at the top of the page, so it doesn't cost you any money. Just lets you go through there. You can purchase whatever you're looking for. We get a small kickback, so it's always greatly appreciated. If you pick stuff up on Amazon, feel free to use our banner. We have a donate button. If you're feeling froggish, you want to give us a little cash, we would appreciate it.
So that way we can get one of those DNA splicing kits and create life.
And more bottles so I can make different noises and be muted.
I thought I had it because I thought you were going to go longer. But he stopped. I was like, shit.
Worth a mention. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. If you listen to us on iTunes, please rate.
Join our Steam group.
Yep.
Can you Steam subscribe?
Yes, you can
subscribe
want.
To iTunes.
Yeah, subscribe.
Join our Steam group.
You guys got some games to curate.
We now have a couple more games to curate on here.
Not me. So. I curated all my games because I'm fancy.
Are you fancy?
Fancy in my pantsy.
I knew he was going to say that.
That's the only thing that rhymes with fancy. There's not a lot of options.
Dancy, Mancy,
Mancy,
Clancy.
I'm feeling fancy
dancy.
With my Dancy Tom Clancy.
I feel like we just have to cut this off at some point. I'll see you guys next week.
Later.
I'm Adam, bye.